Hello and welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the podcast from LSEG Post-Trade Solutions. My name is Scott Sobolewski, co-head of the Quant Services Group within PTS. And today we're here to discuss modeling trends and regulatory trends within the UK market. Joining me today, I have two local colleagues here in London. Our newest hire here, Javier Anduaga, a senior partner within our expert services consulting team, and Joey O'Brien, a senior consultant here, also based in the UK. So to kick things off, Jabi is a new face on the podcast, and Jabi joins us from PwC UK, where he spent the last 6 years developing their traded risk and modeling capabilities. He has over 12 years of consulting experience in the financial institution and quant space. And before he got into quant finance, he completed his PhD in physics at CERN and worked on the Large Hadron Collider. So probably a topic for a different podcast. But Javi, let's talk to you first. Could you tell us a bit about your journey to LSEG? What led you here and kind of what sparked your interest in quant finance?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for your kind introduction. As you said, I've been in the consulting space for over 12 years. That gave me the opportunity to work on a wide range of engagements. I would say probably covering the whole model lifecycle. I started my career after that time as a physicist. I started my career working alongside the front office quants for a large US banks, developing derivative pricing models. Back in the day, SRE 1107 was coming out, and the bank was working on a kind of a multi-year engagement to basically build pricing models across the set of asset classes.
Yeah, so. And we're still to this day feeling the effects of those post-crisis regulations in the form of stress testing. We'll talk a bit about that here today in terms of the Bank of England stress tests and Basel III, continuation of the immediate post-crisis Basel II regulations that came out around the time you started your career and mine as well. So it's been just about 3 months that you've been with LSEG now, leading the local market here in the UK. Could you share your initial impressions of the quant services team and kind of your impression of the quality of the folks that you've had a chance to meet and work with here within LSEG?
Yeah, I've been having a great time so far. And I'm actually, if I need to point out maybe one or two things about the team and the firm. I'm really quite impressed about the how knowledgeable our team is, how strong our quant team is. And I think not just in terms of technical expertise, but also in you know, the team culture, how we all collaborate with each other to kind of deliver the best outcomes possible. So I think that's quite powerful. And so in terms of the firm, I think the type of engagements that we are doing at the moment, they are challenging, they are kind of quite complex, and I found that quite exciting. So
yeah,
so far so good.
And here at LSEG, those of you who are previous listeners to Ahead of the Curve may have some familiarity with the open source risk engine, the modeling framework that we use to support clients on a commercial basis, both for our hosted risk and pricing calculation services, but also facilitating the client's use of that open source software locally. Being part of LSEG has, if anything, turbocharged the client adoption that we see from the open source risk engine. Probably a coincidence, but one of LSEG's slogans, open to possibilities, has open right there in the name. And we've been a big beneficiary of that as a small quant services team, having the weight of LSEG and not only the weight behind awareness of the open source risk engine, but also usage and adoption of ORI internally here within LSEG. And we'll talk a bit about that a little later on. Joey O'Brien here, also local to London. Could you give us a bit of a flavor for what sorts of client projects and experiences have been keeping you busy to start the year?
Sure. Thanks, Scott. So our main focus really this year so far have been in two directions. The first one is in replacing legacy vendor software in groups. And that is the case where they have realized that they perhaps don't have as much ownership as they'd like in these kind of black box vendor models. And they realize that they're doing things like pricing, stress testing, sensitivities, CVA calculations, and they have a different library for each one of those. And each of those libraries come with hefty premiums at the time, but also just the fact that they don't fully own them has become a problem. And they've started to realize that they can use the open source risk engine, or ORE, to actually replace all of those things. So we've had a number of projects at the moment where we've been actively doing that, handholding clients through implementing ORE locally and making it their risk library of choice. So that's been a big focus at the start of the year. The second big focus, as usual over the past number of years, has been in assisting in model validation. And I think particularly here in the UK, there's been a renewed focus on that. So you guys mentioned SR 1107. That's been, 15 years now. So there's been a push in the US to do these things. The PRA actually have also put out the SS 123, which is a similar kind of document. And now the banks here in the UK are feeling similar pressures to perform full-blown model governance and validation on a frequent basis. And we're definitely feeling the benefit of that.
Yeah, and the open source risk engine is very versatile in the way that clients can deploy it either as the primary modeling infrastructure or within a model validation team, being able to use production-like software, but for benchmarking purposes. And Jabi, I think that ties in very well to your previous experience at PwC, where you were doing quite a bit of validation-style projects. Could you just talk a bit about your view of the state of the current traded risk environment around the UK and what sort of client feedback you've gotten now talking to them about ORE in particular?
I would say there is a big focus in the UK, probably also globally, around counterparty credit risk. I don't think that comes as a surprise, considering we saw at the end of last year the publication from the Basel Committee on kind of new set of guidelines for kind of robust management of counterparty credit risk. This comes kind of on the back of the lessons learned from all the events that took place the last few years, including Archegos, what happened with Credit Suisse after that, SVB, the gilt crisis in the UK. And also the PRA listed CCR as one of the key priorities for 2025. So that's kind of quite consistent. I think the industry, although there's a lot of stuff that has been done post-financial crisis, I think now there is, after what happened, clearly the institutions realize that they need to do more. And so we see institutions working to enhance their overall CCR frameworks, including better systems, better infrastructure, better models. We see, for example, things like intraday risk that some institutions are seeing now that more as a must-have rather than nice-to-have. Stress testing. You mentioned it in the introduction. Stress testing, I think, is now becoming a clear component of the risk management framework, as opposed to a purely kind of regulatory-driven exercise.
Yeah, and I think the open source risk engine provides a unique ability to assist on the quantitative benchmarking side of a lot of these projects. So, Jabi, maybe you could speak a bit about kind of what differentiates us when we come into a project working with clients. I know the open source realm is unique in that we like to bring our expertise to clients, but we also learn quite a bit when we work with different clients and different types of firms. And in the open source realm, the majority of our open source users are very happy to contribute that work back into the open source realm and sort of enhance the standards that the entire global modeling infrastructure, the tools that they use to support their local requirements. So in your experience, how can that help clients on a typical validation project?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it, right? The model risk function has been under kind of cost pressure for many years now. So it's quite difficult and expensive to maintain a proprietary library just to do kind of independent testing. And some institutions are actually not doing it because of that. And I think ORE can play a key role there, where we see that effectively the model validation function get access to a complete library for pricing, XBA, and risk, where they can a very kind of cost-efficient way to run their own independent testing. And I think that's something that is kind of very well received by the model risk people we've been talking to.
And our goal when we work with clients on consulting projects is to make them experts in ORE and truly pass that ownership baton over to them. Most of our projects are short-term and they're one-off. And it's really about kind of assisting with that initial setup and implementation. And then over the course of a project, facilitating that knowledge transfer so that they can own and operate ORE as if it's their own internal model. And a lot of times clients use the ORE code and they'll call it, their own proprietary risk engine when it's in effect the open source code operating under the hood. And that helps provide those clients with a lot of those cost synergies that we mentioned. Joey, in a typical validation style project, maybe you could just frame kind of what that looks like for the average client end to end, and kind of what we bring to projects and then what clients bring to completion.
Yeah, so we start any validation project really with, first of all, introductions to what the model actually is, what products does it cover, what are the client's views on its limitations and justification for using that model, along with its business use case. So getting that kind of introduction, and that will really steer what the rest of the validation is going to do. From there, we in some sense take over in leading what happens from that point. I view it really as two separate streams, right? There's a qualitative side and a quantitative side. The qualitative side really dives under the hood of why they chose that model, what that model's assumptions are, how does it line up with industry best practice. And we're quite fortunate in our position that we do have a good sense for what the industry is using different models for as a result of our hosted service. So we can also opine on what we think best practices are and if they're missing out. And that qualitative component involves things like tiering, which both of those kind of regulatory documents require firms to now do to justify how often models are revalidated. So that's the first big component. The second is the quantitative side. And that's really where I think we're in a unique position because of the open source risk engine. What we have to do is perform an independent validation or benchmark exercise versus things like valuations and sensitivities. What a lot of firms would do in those cases is implement a spreadsheet of sorts or a Jupyter notebook or something and do it on the fly. What we can actually do is use this fully fledged risk system that we have that has been in some sense validated itself by the industry. So performing that exercise of doing a benchmark of their internal valuations and sensitivities is a big part of our documentation. And by the end, what we tend to do is bring those two strands together, the qualitative, quantitative, into this kind of comprehensive document, along with all the supporting code that we use to produce the report. And then we perform a handoff, really give them a comprehensive document at the end with both sides and allow them to take ownership of using ORE in the future, using those inputs for future revalidations.
I mentioned sort of LSEG turbocharging ORE to some extent. We're 2 years into ORE and the quant services team being part of the LSEG family, coming to LSEG through an acquisition of Acadia Soft in early 2023. And we are now subject to LSEG's model risk management policies here internally as a large financial institution. So ORE itself, you mentioned it's been validated by dozens, if not hundreds of clients by now, by their own local teams. ORE is also in the process of being validated end-to-end, all of the pricing models, all the risk simulation models by LSEG's model risk management team, which provides users an additional layer of assurance and governance that those models are working to or above market standards, just as any other LSEG model that you're using across the firm, including within the data and analytics business. So, Chabi, I understand you came to LSEG with some previous ORE experience. So you're 3 or 4 months in, but I think your experience with ORE is a bit deeper than that. What do you find most exciting about ORE at the minute in terms of addressing relevant either regulatory or modeling trends here in the UK market?
Yeah, no, that's true. I've been a big sponsor or supporter, I would say, of QuantLeaf from like probably over 15 years ago when I discovered ORE maybe 3-4 years ago as I was kind of working on an FRTB kind of research paper. And something that really stood out for me is that I remember back in the day, 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, how complex it was to work with QuantLeaf. It required kind of a good amount of work to familiarize with the library to kind of be able to do some kind of complex analysis. And I must say my recent experience with ORE has been completely different. I managed to do a full installation of ORE from scratch with all the dependencies, run the examples in under 90 minutes in my own laptop. So how that journey is now so much easier in terms of the adoption of ORE is quite powerful. But I think the one functionality that I love about ORE is the fact that within one platform, you can do so much. So once you spend a bit of work to configure the library, to bring in the market data, to set your trades, then you can pretty much do a lot of different kind of risk metrics within the same kind of infrastructure. And that's, I think, is quite powerful.
Yeah, and I would say so far, the feedback we've gotten on ORE, despite a vast array of documentation and even a YouTube channel that walks through various examples and use cases, there's still quite a bit of legwork in terms of setting up those inputs and all of the IT and infrastructure plumbing to get ORE working locally on clients' own market data, clients' own portfolio data. One of the things that LSEG Post-Trade Solutions has developed to help achieve a quicker adoption of ORE is actually a new product that we're unveiling in the second half of this year called the Risk Analytics Lab, which is essentially a hosted instance of ORE with the market data inputs. And for clients of Acadia and Post-Trade Solutions, hosted services, even portfolio inputs, already pre-configured on the back end. Post-Trade Solutions is probably most well known for uncleared margin rules compliance, where we're calculating initial margin on non-cleared derivatives daily for over 150 clients. Those same clients can have access now for the first time to all of the additional analytics that ORE supports, extending well beyond just the scope of initial margin calculation and backtesting. So Joey, maybe you could talk a bit more about the Risk Analytics Lab and how we think it will help solve for some of those initial implementation hurdles or timelines that clients experience when they use ORE currently.
Yeah, so when we move to from ORE, it takes a long time really to get an initial setup. It can take months to over a year to move from initial testing to production. And that is it's a hurdle, really. It's a hard thing that a group has to invest in. And that's a blocker for two groups, really. There's this very small groups who just don't have the resourcing to be able to do that. And maybe they don't need a fully fledged risk system. They just have to do maybe an annual CVA benchmark or something. They don't need full production environments. Then you also have these big banks who, of course, have the financing and resourcing to do it, but maybe are a bit doubtful about whether ORE is up to scratch. And they're two big hurdles, probably the two biggest hurdles in terms of uptake and initial testing of ORE. And what I think is part of the main hurdle is this whole setting up of the configuration that you mentioned. So how do they want the curves built? What about the market data? Where does the plumbing come in? And they are all blockers that do stop people trying ORE. I think we've realized that and have also realized that we've actually solved that problem as part of our hosted service already. So why not extend that capability to other types of analytics and see the full power of ORE? And once we do that, I think it will, you know, remove that hurdle of initially playing around with ORE, seeing how the numbers are, maybe doing an initial POC benchmarking and giving encouragement to groups actually fully blown replacing their own systems with ORE longer term. I think if we're looking for an analogy here, it's probably like a fine dining, right, tasting menu, really. That's what Risk Analytics Lab could be. People might just use the tasting menu, but they might also come back and try more and more if they enjoy it. And I think that's what Risk Analytics Lab can offer here.
And I think particularly valuable, just tying it back to our earlier discussion on model validation, model risk management teams who don't want to go through all of those hurdles to implement a production risk system purely for the purposes of occasional benchmarking or annual validations. The way that we've priced the commercial Risk Analytics Lab service is very flexible based on the number of users and essentially just charging back for cloud compute based on the specific analytics use cases. So we think it'll be a very cost-efficient alternative to those teams needing to buy secondary third-party vendors or investing the time to create those models from scratch within their own infrastructure. So I think with that, thank you very much for listening. And to learn more about the Open Source Risk Engine, you can visit opensourcerisk.org. And to learn more about Jabi, Joey, and the commercial services that we offer on the consulting side, you can visit lseg.com/posttradesolutions to learn more about the team and get in touch with our sales team. Thank you very much.